Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now is one of my old, I guess, competitors is the best name. Dave Chalk is joining me from his home. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. I don't like to think competitor. I more so think of
colleague,
joint educators.
Joint educator. I think we can. We're big boys. We can say
yeah.
We can. Well, friendly competition. We'll call it that. We'll call it friendly competition. And but I get the last word today.
All right. So, thanks for having me on.
It's a
Bye.
Pleasure. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Now, Dave's been concentrating on the world of cybersecurity, for lack of a better term. And I've been following your Twitter feed for quite some time, and you've got such fascinating, you always find the scariest and most fascinating stories about what's going on in the world of cybersecurity. And we're not talking necessarily about personal security, protecting your computer from viruses. This is on a more global and national scale. What led you into this interest, Dave?
Well, Steve, a number of years ago, one of my business friends told me about a technology he'd been working on at that time for about 8 years. It's in its 12th year now, and has been fully completed for 2 years and patented after all that time about 6 months ago. And what he really developed was a whole new way of computing. And that was that he was a nuclear engineer and knew that, just like we saw in Japan and what we saw in Iran with the Stuxnet virus, the nuclear reactors can be taken down very easily. So he started working way back then on a defense mechanism that could stop cyber attacks. And quite frankly, it took nearly 10 years and a team of a couple hundred people to write it, and now, surprisingly, it is the only piece of technology in the world that can stop a cyber attack. But I tell you, between you and me and those listening, it's like I am trying to sell a car that runs on water. No one wants to change what they're doing because they've got so much money invested. And the line I hear most often is, not enough people have died yet. And I look at that and I say, what a sad world. When you look at some of those feeds that I put out, that I know you pick up at my Twitter address, we're in fear. I was just looking online. There are a number of predictions out there that the entire U.S. economy is in the state that it's in today, and it's got less than 3 to 4 years before it entirely crumbles because of cyber intrusion, IP theft, and financial theft.
Let's take a step back. You mentioned Stuxnet, which was a real watershed moment as far as the world of cybersecurity. Can you just tell our listeners briefly what happened with the Stuxnet attack?
Sure. The first thing to remember when we're dealing with computers, you and I, Steve, often talk about the world of personal computers. And in the big world, those are really thought of as entry devices, the way you get information into a big enterprise. And a big enterprise would be something like a nuclear power plant or Ford, General Motors, the government, where many, many computers are linked together. And in the world of cyber, that's what we're really worried about, as information transfers from one computer to the other. But it is believed that a couple of years ago, Israel developed, in conjunction possibly with a few other companies, we'll call it a Trojan, because those nuclear power plants, a couple hundred of them, weren't connected to the internet. So the virus was transferred most likely by a computer hard memory key fob. And what this brilliant piece of technology did, it's still the most sophisticated in the world, and they still haven't completely dissected it, called Stuxnet. It would go into the computer systems and it looked for one thing, the computer that was controlling the centrifuges. And those centrifuges were controlled by an industry controller made by Siemens. And what they had done is they had written code that would change the speed of the centrifuges. In order to make nuclear-grade uranium, you have to spin it, I believe it was either 2,000 or possibly 2,000 RPM for 5 years. And that's part of the process of creating it. What this virus did over a four-year period was every now and then it would vary the speed of the centrifuge, and it would still tell all the master control systems called SCADA systems, those big, if you ever watched that movie, Global Thermonuclear War, with all the lights flashing, it would tell them everything is perfect. Even if they ran a test, it would put the answer back, everything is perfect. And meanwhile, in the background, it keeps messing around with the speed. Well,
now
it's finally discovered after 4 years, and when they opened up the centrifuges, they had a pile of rock.
Now, we should point out that this was targeted at just certain countries, enrichment programs. Yeah.
Specifically at Iran.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, it escaped to about 5 or 6 other countries. They found it in their nuclear reactors. And the truth be told, it was actually discovered at the, help me with the name here, Steve, the Japanese ones, Fujikama, or whatever they were, the 5 that melted down in Japan.
Okay.
That they have a reason to believe now the Stuxnet virus was possibly to blame for part of that, that nowhere could 5 nuclear reactors all at the same time melt down with no possibility of saving them.
Mm. So at any rate, the Stuxnet virus became the kind of the gold standard of how espionage in online terrorism could, or online warfare, shall we say, could be enacted, because this was state versus state. This wasn't a hacker going into a system.
No.
These were state-sponsored attacks.
Yeah, nation state.
Yeah.
And it has now been called, it has a younger cousin called DUQU, D-U-Q-U, that is a spin-off derivative of it, but they have been called the first 2 nuclear weapons of the cyber age. And they have the potential. This is what, you know, I'm not trying to scare people, but, you know, it's good if they research this. They have the potential to take down the power grid, nuclear reactors, factories, anything, because they are so sophisticated.
And this is where the fear, I think, is starting to, there's starting to become a groundswell of concern at the national level, where we're starting to hear different American secretaries of defense start to say, you know, we are vulnerable, speaking the Western world, we're vulnerable to a cyber Pearl Harbor if we don't start putting systems in place to prevent it.
Well, to tell you the truth, yes. I met 2 people in the U.S. because I'm deep involved in this. One was Admiral Michael McConnell. He was the former head of the NSA, the spy group that we call the Black Cat Group, and Richard A. Clark, who wrote a book, Cyber War. And both of them say right now that their warning to the president is, do not go to war with anyone at this point, especially Iran. No one wants a war anyway, because they will counterattack back, and the U.S. is not ready for it, that it cannot protect itself without conventional nuclear weapons.
And when we start boiling it down, so many systems are at risk that, I mean, basically closing the door is going to be a monumental task.
Can't be done. Two countries that can do it, that can shut the door on the internet, are Singapore and China.
Mm-hmm.
And China's done it that way purposely and very smart. They're a controlled state. They can disconnect from the internet. The U.S. can't do it, so those attacks can come in any way, shape, and form.
Mm, and that's where the concern lies. Now, you on your Twitter feed, I'll get people. It's your Twitter feed is Ask David Chalk. So for those of you that are on Twitter, it's a great place to see a constant stream of the different. You do a nice job of parsing out all the different articles that speak to this. And these aren't just coming from. There are certainly some coming from a little more. Shall we say, radical organizations that are concerned, but you also, a lot of the mainstream press is finally starting to pick up and starting to cover this story with the weight that you obviously think it deserves.
Yeah, many of the stories I find are from special access I get to deep down sources, so they're not just the glamour on the web. These are true stories. I was going to tell you something that you probably really find interesting. I know you know this, Steve, but just to give your listening audience a reason to see why cyber attacks and warfare are dangerous, it's so fundamental, and it's going to be almost impossible for anyone to believe that this is how computers really work. But in the simplest essence of why we have a cyber problem is when computers were first developed and started to network together, you've got to understand that something has to monitor all the computers working together to make sure that they're doing their job. That's what an IT department does. So what they do is they collect all the data and put it in databases. We've heard about that. And then they mine those databases and look for problems. The thing is, you can't look at data until the data has occurred, which is a pretty logical statement. And the data they have to look at is the data from the incident. So whether it is a computer theft or fraud or an intrusion or shutting down a nuclear power plant, the entire world runs after the fact. So there is no protection because we don't have anything, and I don't like to use the word real time because it gets confused. Computers don't run live. They run live on your desktop, but when they're networked together, they can't monitor each other live. And so the technology that obviously will change that is live computing. That's what we happen to patent. But because it's so radically different, if people just say there's no way that's possible, but the way I come at it is I say that's fine, but you just need to monitor and be aware of how systems work. And when it does come time to, for you to fully understand it and realize the situation the world is in, you know, we've got a solution. I'm not trying to push it here by any means. And other people can have solutions down the road. But we have to get off the path we're on. We have to completely redesign the back end of computer systems so they work live. And not one in the world does right now.
Well, it's a profound challenge ahead of us, and it's certainly going to be stories that we'll continue to follow. Ask David Chalk is the Twitter feed. Thanks so much, Dave, for your time.
Thank you. I'll follow back to anyone that wants to find out more about it. Thank you, Steve.
We'll have links to all of your content on our site.
Beautiful. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye,
dude.
Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.